Welcome to the Tome of All Dooms. It's another RPG a day catch-up episode where we try to catch up on all the world's words that we've missed because real life got in the way and because time in 2020 is some wimbly-wobbly weird thing that doesn't work anymore. The words for today are
banner, frame, and dramatic. Banner is not one of those words that both of us went, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to talk about right away. So after much brainstorming, and trust me, we did a fair bit of it trying to come up with all of the different meanings of the word banner, we came up with...
It has not been a banner year.
Although, I feel the need to insert a caveat in that the strange juxtaposition of things is that it has been a really amazing year of gaming for you and I. Because we have never gamed together this much ever, and we have played in some wonderful games with some really great people. So, while in pretty much every other realm, it has not been a banner year, I will say our gaming year has been.
Yeah, I think that it's at a good... The gaming has been at a good time in the progression of technology where it's cheap and easy enough for people to get online and to do it so that we don't feel quite so isolated during the pandemic because we're getting a bunch of games in. I'm running a weekly game, and we're picking up at least one game, one other game a week usually.
Yeah.
So, and
well, one week we played three other games and your game.
I know.
And I was like, okay, that's crazy. But it was fun. It was crazy fun, but it was crazy.
Yeah, that's like a con level of
right, yeah.
Running and playing in games.
Yes, except we still had real life stuff going on around us. We couldn't go to a hotel and ignore.
Oh, yes. I vaguely remember hotels. Yeah.
Do you?
Back in the before times. Yes.
The next time you stay in a hotel and you lay down and there's that nasty bleachy smell on the sheets, you might even celebrate it. It might even be new. Maybe it's been long enough that you'll be like, oh, whatever is that scent?
All right, so that's banner.
I am so pleased to say that I know what I'm going to say about this, and Jeff doesn't. No, that was mean. I'm sorry. Normally, though, we do these, and he's all like, oh, I'm going to talk about this. And I'm sitting over here going, So... I have to say, it is kind of nice to know what I'm going to say before you do. Anyway, to what I'm going to say. One of the things that I really, really like about a lot of the games that Jeff enjoys and runs is that they include things like relationship maps that put a framework around the story. So I feel like when the most recent example of this, we have been playing a game called Monster of the Week. And in Monster of the Week, one of the things that you develop when you are creating characters is you go around and develop relationships with each of the players. And I think in that one, you have to pick one or two. I don't remember now because we did it some time ago now. But it's a really interesting mechanic in that it immediately sets up how your characters interact. And it's not just, oh, these bunch of people who are going out looking for gold coins met in a tavern and decided to go look for gold coins together. So I really enjoy that. And we've had that in many games. I can remember PTA, you building a relationship map when you ran that in the first game you ever ran that I played at a con. So I am actually a big fan of that. Because I wonder if I'm ever going to get to the point where I don't feel like when I'm walking in, you know, some intimidation that everyone else is going to have a much better idea of what's going on than I am.
Well, certainly I like games that include a relationship map more than don't. I think Primetime Adventures was the first one that I ever ran that I did that for, although it's not specifically spelled out in the rules that you need to do that. It was just a handy mechanic to keep track of the relationships of the characters at the table, because Primetime Adventures is all about drama. It's basically a TV show, usually a drama, a game run as a TV show, and you run in episodes and you have spotlight characters and stuff. That was something. I don't even know who I saw do that first. I do know that Bill White put an explicit relationship map in Gnakagak. Mm. You make a relationship map of how the people who live in the village are related to one another and how they feel about each other. That was the first time I'd seen it explicitly called out in a game. But yeah, Monster of the Week has a whole bunch of things that you pick at the beginning where you define the history between the characters. And it was nice to see that the PAX on Roll20, Evil Hat just put out a Monster of the Week set for Roll20. And so, of course, I had to get it because I like Fred and Rob and the Evil Hat folks, and I like Monster of the Week, so why shouldn't I? They included a template for a 3, a 4, and a 5 player relationship map so that you could just put the characters' pictures in the little slots and then type things into the boxes.
And, wow, that's really cool.
So you could have that for each of your Monster of the Week games that you were running, and I thought that's really, really cool and not something I had seen done on Roll20 very much at all.
Yeah, I mean, my playing on Roll20 so far has been really limited, so I'm not sure, but I feel like you had to outdo me, didn't you? Because the next word is dramatic, and there you go, using the word drama before we even get to that word. So, all right, show off. So dramatic is easy, because just this last Monday night, we had quite a dramatic session of our Monster of the Week game. So it was one of those games where my character is a researcher. So she's kind of like Velma, you know, she doesn't fight. She sits in the mystery machine, looking at her books and trying to, you know, look up reference information. And so we go in the story, we were going to a witch's house to break in, because that's always a great plan, right? Break into the witch's house and look for this sacred scythe is the only word I can think of, but that's not what
sickle.
It was. Is it?
Sickle.
Yes. See, all I could think of was scythe. And my character waited outside because she's not a fighter. You know, her the grand total of her fighting ability is she carries a heavy flashlight. So I was like, all right, my character's not the fighty-fighty, so I'll sit out here and man the first aid kit. And so the funny thing about that is then they were talking about the fact there were runes around the door. I think you said that, actually. Mm-hmm. You said around the door of her house were runes. And, of course, my character Zephyr is the only one who would know how to read runes. Maybe not, though, but I think in this case no one else piped up and said they knew what they said. And so I said, oh, well, maybe I should go in with you guys so I can tell you what the runes say. And one of the other characters who plays a ghost was like, what are you talking about? You don't go in a witch's house. Do you want to end up dead like me? And I was like, oh, no, you're right. Well, I don't know what I was thinking. So I did end up waiting outside. And let me tell you, that was just a comedy of errors. That game, the thing I love about that game is that every once in a while, people will roll and it will just be like totally unexpected. Because in this case, every time in Monster of the Week that you roll a failing roll, you get a point of experience. And one player got 7 points of experience in that session.
Well, let's
see. Two of them weren't that, but he 5 failing rolls he got experience for. So
let's set it up a little bit.
So, okay, go ahead.
So the witch is one of the big bad evils. So it's this climactic scene, right? The character's going to go and they're going to confront the witch and they're going to try to get this artifact
back.
They're
going to break into her house anyway.
Right. They're going to break into her house anyway, which they fluffed the roll on that and set off the alarm wards, and that was great. And then they encountered some minions, some dogs. Magic statue dogs that attacked them, and then they started shooting. But the problem was that they kept shooting each other.
Because it was so everyone was rolling failing rolls, and so by the end of it, people were like, really, 2 of them were really damaged, and none of it from the bad guys. It was all friendly fire. So it was crazy. And then right at the end. The witch comes home because her wards got set off. She comes in. She's floating. She gets... did she get damaged? And she was revealed that she was like a demon or something. Mm-hmm. And in comes one of our players and casts a spell. And guess what he rolled? Double sixes plus bonuses. Now, in a game where everyone is rolling crap-tastically, it caused a very dramatic climax when all of a sudden he comes in. He's like, all right, I'm going to do this big spell. And then he rolls like a perfect roll. It was wonderful. It's so funny to me how, you know, we've played a bunch of sessions of that game. And I like the fact that if you roll a failing roll, it doesn't necessarily mean the very worst thing happens that could happen. But the thing is, in that group of people that we're gaming with, none of them are like, oh, well, my person can't really get hurt. All of them are like, oh yeah, that would be like appropriately dramatic if I shot him and then he shot me. And so it was, I just loved it. I loved that session. It was, there were certainly dramatic moments, and there were of course moments where everybody just went, are you kidding me? Like when again, somebody would roll a bad roll. And see me standing outside, I think my character only rolled one roll that whole game, but I didn't mind at all. I really didn't. I mean, an interesting thing I think for me is that I don't get bored. So that could be because I have been really lucky and gamed with people who are really into the game. Certainly, every session, you know, it varies. It varies how much I'm into the game based on how tired I am or whatever. But I do feel like I've been really lucky to game with people who are really creative. And so I often am sitting back, contributing where I can, but watching like in awe of other people too, because we really do game with some creative people.
Yeah, no, that's part of the thing I love about the particular type of indie games I like to run, which is the failing forward mechanic, where if you fail something, it should always generate something that's way more interesting than maybe hurtful or harmful or whatever. I mean, definitely you have some consequences that makes the situation worse, but it shouldn't just make it worse. It should always make it more interesting, and that's kind of what I strive to. And it wasn't that they were just shooting each other. They were shooting the house and shooting lots of other things, and there was magic flying, and it was appropriately dramatic. But at the end of the session, I think I tallied up, and the big bad had done, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 points of damage. All of the rest of probably 10, 15 points of damage that was doled out amongst all the rest of the characters was self-inflicted.
Yeah, and I think my character is the only one that didn't get damaged because I only came in right at the very end to throw water on the fire demon.
That's right, which is a different part of the story.
Yes, yes, sorry.
But it was, yes, it was appropriately dramatic.
Yeah.
Flameo, hot man, flameo.
What? People don't say that anymore?